How are you feeling?
I feel good.
I feel good.
You know, I woke up this morning and I was like, you know what I'm going to do today? Kick some fucking ass. That's what I'm going to do today.
And whose ass did you kick?
All day. All day, been kicking ass. So
showing up at grocery stores, just kicking random people in the butt and then running away.
I'm like, buy some sauce. What's in your cart? Get that shit out of here.
Rayos, who do you think you are?
Yeah. Yep. So that's my day. So I had like just back-to-back meetings today, and it was, I woke up at like 5 in the morning this morning because my husband had to go to work. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get up. And I got up, and I also have had a lot of caffeine. So maybe that has helped me.
I am catching up.
It was like 9:30 and I was like, oh, I'm starting to get tired. And then I drove and got like 4 shots of espresso and wired.
Kicked some more butts. Pulled over in a random grocery store, kicked like 4 more butts.
They don't even have Puro sauce here. I don't care. Do better.
And then I went home.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, but I've been good, you know, got a lot done today. So, and had some buyer meetings, got some shit solved, and yeah, it's been good. It was a good day. And it's only 2, so, you know, 2 my time, 4 your time.
I was like, oh, it's 4 here.
Yeah. And let's see, what else? Matt's birthday is this weekend.
Oh yeah. How's the planning going?
Great. Throwing a rager because now we can have parties with people.
12 whole people.
Yeah. When I planned it, it was like, it's a COVID mixer. And now that it's like not, like everybody can now hang out without masks if you're vaccinated. So now I'm like, we're going to burn the mask there. It's a freedom party. Only if you're vaccinated.
Oh my God. That's going to be funny.
Yep. How are you feeling after your vaccination? Are you back to normal now?
I feel like I'm like 90%.
Really?
I
still have my bruise. Can you believe that thing?
Ooh, you bruised really bad.
Mine was bleeding. The guy was like, we have a bleeder. It was so funny. He like poked me because I was like a drive-thru. And he's like, lift your arm. I'm like, okay. And he's like, no, lift your arm. And then I like looked and I'm like just bleeding down my arm.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I was like, this is going really well.
Am I going to die?
Am I going to die?
Just put your arm out the window like you're holding a mattress when you drive home. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Everybody just bleeds a little. That's how they used to do. She's up for a bleeding.
I was fine Friday. Thursday night. And then that. And I was like, well, I don't know. I kind of don't feel great, but it's okay. I'm just going to just chill out. And then that night, I didn't fully wake up, but I remember like waking up and thinking to myself, like, oh my God, you're dying right now. And like just sweating and like I couldn't move anything. It was surprisingly intense.
It's because you got, what'd you get? Moderna?
Yeah.
That's because you got Moderna.
We're not virus judging on this podcast.
I got Pfizer.
All vaccinations are treated equally.
I didn't know that was a thing until you told me it. Now I just think it's funny.
I think it's pretty hilarious.
I love it. I actually truly love it. But I'm glad you're feeling better, at least 90%.
I am. I'll get there. I worked out yesterday because I hadn't worked out in 3 or 4. It was 4 days. And I just like cranked like the elliptical. I did like a bunch of ab stuff. I did my kettlebell workout, and then I got done and I'm just like heaved over, just like, oh my God.
Good for you.
I know, but I didn't expect to feel that bad because I only worked out for like a half hour. And I was just leaning against the car trying to get in,
Yeah. Yep. Matt and I went for a run yesterday together.
Are you fast enough now for
No. I am not fast enough for him to run. But he was like, I'm going to help you do this. And I was like, ooh, supportive husband alert.
Yay.
There he is. Yay. But yeah, we ran walk 2 miles. So, you know, slowly getting there. I'm so out of shape.
That's it, my just favorite like every running.
Time. Yeah, I know.
Walk running.
I'm like, see, I have to stop.
Run like you're like professional, and then you just, as soon as you're out of sight, you just kind of like sit down in the middle of the path.
Oh my gosh. Have you, this is old school Ellen DeGeneres back in the day when she did stand up. Her, like, I think it's like her second ever stand up. I think that comedy of hers is probably like still my favorite. But there's a part in one of her stand-ups where she's like talks about people tripping, and she's like talking about how she's like sitting at a cafe and there's a guy across the street and he's like, he tripped. And then she's like, oh no, he's running. Never mind. And then he's like, he stops and he's like, he tripped. And it's just like this funny thing because she like says how like, everyone is always watching you because that's how you feel, you know? But yep. She's like, no one does that. It's just a really funny like thought process of it because I do that shit all the time.
Same.
So welcome to episode 2.
Welcome to Girl Power History.
Featuring Carol King.
I'm really excited.
Oh, and my name is Brianna.
And I'm Alexa.
Welcome.
And we're really excited to be here.
Obviously. As you can tell, I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you to do your debut episode.
Oh, I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to fumble through it today for you. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I have faith in you. And if it's really bad, we're adults and we can just do it again. So...
And if it's really bad, we can just delete this entire episode and re-record episode 2 with no one knowing.
It's all the power is in our hands.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, you ready?
I'm going to let you, please, Brianna, take the floor.
Oh, thank you. I just want to thank Alexa for having me today. And,
I really wish I had like a little applause thing, but I know. Don't, so we'll insert that in post.
Oh yeah, okay.
I can do that. I don't know. I'll Google something.
You're like, click here. Those YouTube videos where they're like, click here for this, and then like the box never shows up, yes. And you're like, wait, what are we supposed to click?
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Carol King. I love Carol King. She is. Just like one of the sweetest ladies, and she's such a badass. So Carol King, for those of you who don't know who Carol King is, she is an award-winning songwriter / artist, and I'm going to tell you her life story today. So she was her original name is Carol Joan Klein and was born in Manhattan, New York on February 9th, 1942, to her Jewish parents, her father is Sidney N. Klein, a firefighter, and Eugenia, who was a teacher. King's parents met in an elevator in 1936 at a Brooklyn college where her father was a chemistry major and her mother was an English and a drama major.
Aw, it's meet cute.
I know, I'm like, only used to meet like so sweetly and no technology and, you know. They married in 1937 during the last years of the Great Depression. King's mother dropped out of college to run the household. Her father also quit college and briefly took a job as a radio announcer. With the economy struggles, he had to quit that and then move to a more secure job as a firefighter. After King was born, her parents remained in Brooklyn and were eventually able to buy a small two-story duplex where they could rent out the upstairs for income. I just find that super sad because they both were like super intelligent people. And then because of, you know, financial issues, they had to quit their college and their like actual majors to do stuff that was just financially, you know, income for their family.
I think that's really crazy now, like to look at that, like with the perspective of today, because I think it was a lot more common back then because it's like, oh, well, if I quit this now, I can just get a job, you know, doing whatever. And now it's kind of like a little bit the opposite. It's like, no, you have to like,
you have to follow what you go to college for.
Yeah, exactly. Like there like, is like, yeah. You, otherwise you don't make a living. Like,
yeah. But it's like, to me, I'm like, he was a chemistry major and he like, he obviously was intelligent. So, and then he became a firefighter, which to like, that blows my mind. You know, yeah. Like you don't even need a degree to become a firefighter now. So it's like to think about that transition of like that almost like backwards work, yeah. Which really there's no harm in being a firefighter. Like, thank you for the people who do that job. But it just blows my mind that like that is what you had to do to survive back then.
Don't you need a degree to be a firefighter?
No.
But I see them all the time at MCC. They just hanging around? I don't know.
Is it a certification?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they just like to hang out there.
Is it something that we should look up?
I'll Google. You keep going.
Okay, because now I feel like an asshole if that's something you do need a degree. Maybe it's an associate's.
You're canceled.
You're canceled. Get off there.
They're coming to light your house on fire right now. They're going to throw your cat in a tree.
And we're going to stand there and watch it burn.
Oh, no. But many of them get a degree.
Okay. Because that's like, for me, I'm thinking, you know, police, firemen, like you don't need a college degree. Like that's what I was like entry level, like high school diploma, I guess, which is, you know, I guess back in this time was still a huge deal to get a high school diploma.
Yes.
So, I mean, my grandma on my mom's side, she graduated eighth grade and that was all she did. And that was like, that was as good as it got her family,
yeah.
Right? So like to think back then in 1936, they were both in college and then they had to drop out because they needed to make a living. Mm-hmm. It was just sad. So anyways, I digress. Back to my story. So after King was born, her parents remained in Brooklyn and they got the two-story duplex. And they started renting that out. So King's mother could play the piano and taught King how to play at a very young age. When she was 3 years old, she started writing music and understanding like how to play. So 3 years old. Can you imagine a three-year-old like writing music?
That's so crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So, and at four, she developed absolute pitch. Do you know what absolute pitch is?
Yes. So that's like perfect.
Perfect pitch. Yeah, you can
like,
exactly.
You can hear it, right? Like you can
yes.
hear it.
Okay. Yeah. So absolute pitch, or often referred to perfect pitch, is a rare ability of a person to identify or recreate a given music note without the benefit of a reference tone. For example, King could reproduce a heard tone on a musical instrument without hunting for the correct pitch, which I'm not extremely musical, but I just find that fascinating. At age four, she could do that.
That's really neat.
So She was extremely intelligent. She actually skipped two grades in school, grade levels. So her, her ability to like read and do math was extremely high for her age, which led to her being much younger in all of her grades. She grew up pretty quick, I guess I'll say that. Her parents, when she was younger and when she was the only child, she remembers her parents just being extremely happy and growing up in a secure environment. In 1948, King became a sister to her brother Richard, and Richard would later be diagnosed as deaf and mentally challenged. At the age of 2 years old, King's parents had to make a really tough decision to place Richard in a group home to help with his disabilities.
Wow.
Both King's parents worked full-time and could not afford to take off work or afford any special home care for Richard. This led to the family breaking up, essentially. Many people blamed King's mother for her inability to bring a healthy son into the world.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like I guess people would just tell her that it was her fault all the time, which biologically it's not.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, so her parents spent the next 7 years separated on and off. This back and forth instability in her parents' relationship affected how King would develop relationships later in her life. So in her memoir, she talked about how going to visit him for the first time was a year after he was dropped off there. So she didn't see her brother for an entire year. And her parents, his dad, or her dad, would not accept him as his son.
Oh my God.
So that was a huge rift in their marriage and life. So just from, you know, his disabilities, which I think is extremely sad. So, he was able to, which also brings me to like appreciate so much of how our schools are set up now. There's so much special needs abilities in schools, and a lot of insurance really is helpful for children in need. It's just kind of crazy to think back then there was nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say now that, the services are just like, there is so much help. There's always room for improvement. But I mean, back then, there wasn't anything. Like you either like you had the basic abilities to function in society or you weren't included.
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's essentially their parents or her parents ended their relationship, and this secure relationship that she, you know, grew up in changed dramatically, and she watched her parents go back and forth for years. They eventually divorced 7 years after. They put their son into a home, and this has affected her relationships going forward. And I will explain that in a little bit.
Coming up in this episode.
Coming up next. So King, Carole King, she had her first live performance as a child. So her parents knew she was extremely talented, and she performed. So she did like a competition essentially, and she won this competition. And she and her girlfriend got to perform. It was called the Child Hour. And then later that year, she also got to perform. Both of these were live with live audience, which I think is really cool. I think she was like 14 when she did these.
And then she performed at the amateur hour. So her parents were extremely busy, so they couldn't really help her become a like child star. So she didn't really do anything else like that until she was a little bit older. So in 1950, she went to James Madison High School. She performed with a band called Cosines. And then that's where she ended up changing her name from Carol Klein to Carol King, and made a demo tape with her friend Paul Simon for $25 a session. And this was her first like promo that she like released. So she's 15 years old, recording her first promotional single. And it was called The Right Girl. And then it was released by ABC Paramount in 1958.
Wow.
So it's just kind of cool how she was already trying to become something when she was 15 years old.
Yeah.
So later in her life, so when she was 17, she went to college at Queens College, where she met her first husband, Gary Goffin, who was to become her songwriting partner. So he was extremely talented. And they got married when she was 17. So essentially they got married like 6 months after they met. And then in August 1958, so 1 year after they were married, I guess, she got pregnant and they had their first daughter. They both quit college and they took jobs. So her husband was working as an assistant chemist and Carol King was a secretary, but they both wrote songs together in the evening.
That's really strange. Her dad was going to college for chemistry and quit to do something else. And then her husband quit college to do chemistry.
That's funny. I didn't even put that together. So, but it just shows like how intelligent they were though, you know, I mean, well, they are. And so this is where they started like really getting into music, like writing songs together at night. But they started to have hits. So this is when Carole King quit her job and they released Will You Love Me Tomorrow? And it became a number one hit, which it was performed by, I don't know if I could find the band because it wasn't really performed by them very much. So because it was later released by Carole King on her Tapestry album. Okay. And there's a lot more like connection to it because her husband, Gary, was cheating on her multiple times. And Gary. I was like, fuck you, Gary. Like, not cool. So the Will You Love Me Tomorrow was
a question that she asked herself every night.
It was because he was cheating on her and would leave her for like, so they moved into the suburbs when she was, when they first had their child because they couldn't afford living in Brooklyn. So they moved to the suburbs and Gary was like kind of upset about that, I guess. He wanted that city life. He wanted to still kind of be single. He was several years older than, Carol King, but he still wanted that like bachelor life. So he was cheating on her and she wrote the song. It became a hit. Then they like got on better terms. He wasn't cheating on her and they were continuing to write all this music together. They continued to have a ton of hits together. So some of the hits was recorded by Beatles, like The Locomotion. This was what they wrote. Chains, Keep Your Hands Off Me, Baby by Little Eva. And a lot of these became like on the top 100 hit list. So they were making great money just being songwriters. But he was wanting that like flashy nightlife kind of scene still. Mm-hmm. So he ended up cheating on her again. And they, at this point, they had two children.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So they ended up separating. And this is where she moved to LA and kind of started her own life. So they were like married in 1960s, right? And they were having all these like marital issues, but they were still continuing to write a ton of music together because they were just really good at it. And they also were writing, oh, I forgot this. You Make Me Feel Like a Real Woman. So that was Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. was also written by King, which I just like the music list. It's just amazing how many songs she wrote that people didn't even think that like she was the songwriter.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then like songs by the Drifters. It just, the list goes on and on. So moving forward to 1970s, her Tapestry, this is where like she became her own person, right? So she got rid of her ex-husband,
Gary.
And so this is also like one of my favorite parts because she started collaborating with James Taylor. Mm-hmm. And I love James Taylor. So King made her first solo album, and James Taylor was playing acoustic guitar. He also provided backup vocals. I always thought that they should have been a couple. Never were. Kind of upset me, but it's fine. So King followed writing that. Oh, B.B. King. Sorry. I'm like a little scatterbrained here. There's like so many people that she like worked with, and like it just like blows my mind. So this album peaked at 84 in Billboard's Top 200. The same year, King played keyboards on B.B. King's album. So she also worked with B.B. King's, which I think is really cool.
B.B. King's or B.B. King?
B.B. King. Oh, I've been okay. B.B. King's album.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I was like hearing it wrong the whole time. I'm like, were there more?
Were there multiple Kings? I think it's confusing because her last name's King and then his last name's King.
Yes.
Maybe. All right. Carole King followed writing in 1971 with Tapestry, which featured new compositions, where this is where she redid Will You Love Me Tomorrow. And then she also redid A Natural Woman, which those were songs she wrote for other people, but she was the songwriter, so she can take ownership of them, which I think is really cool.
You mean because a record label didn't buy the rights to all of her music?
That was back when artists were artists and they, like, people weren't out to connive them to make every penny off of them. But so she also in 1972 recorded You've Got a Friend, which is the song for Toy Story.
Don't make me start singing it. I will start singing it right now.
I know. You got a friend in me. But anyways, that hit number one. And Carole King was like helped write that song with James Taylor. So they ended up working very closely together throughout their career. Tapestry was an instant success with numerous hits off the album. So it eventually got to like multiple of their songs ended up going to number one Billboard. It's Too Late, which, like, if you have not listened to this album, please listen to the full album, especially understanding her history of like going through this horrendous divorce and having like all of, you know, the him cheating, her moving from like New York to LA. There's just a lot of like empowerment and understanding and like, you know, the heartbreak of Will You Love Me Tomorrow, I think is just amazing, because if you're in that situation, it really is like something you can connect to. She ended up winning Album of the Year 4 times for this album. So, or 4 awards at the Grammys, which included Album of the Year. So she also was Female Record of the Year, Song of the Year, so Best Pop Vocal Performance, and then Album of the Year, which I think is really cool. So she just took a ton of Grammys home in 1972.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then speaking of all of her awards, let me just go through this list of awards really quick. So she got the 4 awards that I just mentioned in 1972. And then she later in 1975, she won, or she was nominated for Jasmine, which is another song of hers. Just in her lifetime, like she won 10 awards and was nominated for another 6, which I think is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's so, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, and she, let's see, she was the first woman to have an album be inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame, which I think is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So throughout her her life, she was extremely vocal with her political and environmental activists. So in 1977, she moved out of LA and moved to Idaho, which she got extremely involved with environmental issues. Since 1990, she has been working with Alliance for the Wild Rookies and other groups towards passage of the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act.
Oh.
So she worked many times. She testified at Capitol Hill 3 times, and in 1994, in 2007, and in 2019 again. So she's extremely active still to this day in environmental protection, which I think is just really awesome.
That's awesome.
And it also, like, yes, she gets, she doesn't get like super political on like either side. She just really is like for environmental and extremely passionate about, you know, women's rights, which I think is also really cool, because she marched in 2017 Women's March, and she carried a sign that said "One Small Voice," and it's really cute. Oh. Because
she's Carole King.
I know. I was just like, how like freaking adorable are you? So, and then she wrote, she carried that message because I never stopped believing that one small voice plus millions of other small voices is exactly how we can change the world.
That's great.
Isn't that so cute? So her life is just really cool. She has, she was married 4 times, and that kind of goes into her like unstable parents. And she talks a little bit about that in her memoir. But I think it also really was like the foundation of her first marriage, because the other marriages that she had were very short. And then, but she did have 4 children. And Carole King is 79 today.
Wow.
So, and she went on a like her last tour was strictly with James Taylor. And that was in 2010, and it was just their like reunion tour, which I would have loved to go to, but I didn't, because
she looks great,
doesn't she? So She just overall, I just think she's a badass. And some of her other like songs that she developed, which I think is one that you will really recognize, is Gilmore Girls, Where You Led, the theme song.
Oh.
Yeah. So in like, so later in life, she like stopped kind of making albums. Like, so in the 2000s was really when she stopped making albums, and she was just doing like songwriting for people. And like, when I mean songwriting for people, I mean like she, like Mary J. Blige, the Black Eyed Peas, like people that are like today, like she would help write songs with them, which I think is really cool.
That's really neat. That's something I did not know.
Yeah. Wow. So
that's really cool.
And there's, she's just a very like, I don't know if it's like helpful person, but not like, she's just there to support, I think, other women, which I think is really cool.
Other women and the environment. Yeah. And I think that's really an interesting point to make, that she is not very political, but just proactive with the causes that she wants to help. Because I think that is kind of one of the best ways that, you know, more well-known people can help situations, is to just pursue, you know, the causes that they would like to contribute to and, you know, speak for, without pulling in like all like the bipartisan mumbo jumbo that really like muddies the waters.
Yeah. Which you can obviously tell like what side she's on, but she's not like to the point where she's like aggressively throwing it down your throat. You know, she's still like respectful, and she's super intelligent. And so she wrote a memoir.
What's it called?
Little Long. Just listen to the whole thing. I think it's just called Carole King's Memoir.
Did she read it on Audible?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And then she also has a film biography that's called Grace of My Heart. A film very loosely based on King's life, but it was written and directed by Allison Anders. And it just like essentially is like showing an aspired songwriter like going through life, but it's kind of like mirrored towards her life, but it's not 100% her life.
Okay.
And then there was a Broadway musical called Beautiful, and it's the Carole King musical, which is an incredible musical. Like, I'm not a huge musical person, and I loved that musical. And then the cool thing, like the first time it came out on Broadway, she was like actually the one singing the last like exiting song. So she like got on stage and did like the performance, and it was really her.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So she's just, I mean, that came out in 2013. So, but I saw it with my mom in Chicago because she's a huge Carole King person. So Carole King was my mom's first album that she got when she was like,
yeah. She impersonates her all over town.
All over town. So Carole King was my mom's first album, and like when she was like 13 years old. And my dad had a record player, and I took my dad's record player, and I still have my mom's like first ever
album. Oh, that's
album.
So cool.
So I was listening to it the other day when I was like writing this, because I was like bringing all the memories back.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's what I got for Carole King.
Great job, Brianna.
I feel like there's so like, it's almost hard to like talk about everything she did, because it's almost like repetitive. I tried. In this week's Who We Are Obsessed With
Lady Corner.
Lady Session. I don't know. Girl Crush. Can we call it Girl Crush Sesh?
Sure.
Thanks. My girl crush. All right. Who's your girl crush this week?
All right. So for me this week, someone that I want to talk about. She's also a music artist, and she's like
going with the theme.
Yes, theme. She's married to this guy who, like, I don't know. He has a solid job. He has a few hobbies. Her name is Grimes, and she did a cameo on SNL. Like, is it like a week or two ago? Because her partner Elon Musk was the host. Then she recently posted on social media that she was hospitalized after that for suffering a panic attack after the show. And I don't really follow her on social media. I'm not like really familiar with her, and I'm not on social media. So I just scroll through Yahoo News and, you know, read articles. But I think it's really great that she posted about this, because as someone who suffers from panic attacks and coming from a time in my life where I had a lot of them recently, they just happen. And they're not always caused by a huge event. Like, sometimes they just happen. And
like, you haven't been on SNL doing a performance lately and you had a panic attack?
Well, I mean, not even that, but like, she, I mean, it's not like she, it's not like, oh my God, she was a host and then she had like a panic attack and she had to do like all this stuff. Like, she'd all, she was just like, she appeared in a skit and like, and then it happened. And I think that's sort of humbling that, you know, something like that can happen. And she was, you know, she talked about it, which I think is a huge thing. And it, especially right now when the subject is so, you know, we're really starting to put mental health on the forefront of, you know, just being able to comfortably talk about it. And I can't imagine the feeling of coming from, you know, the pandemic and lockdowns, and she had a baby during the pandemic, which can be really isolating. And then, you know, being on a live sketch show, which is probably something that, you know, that sounds like very nerve-wracking. It sounds like an amazing experience in life, but also very nerve-wracking. And I just think it was really great that she posted about that. And like, for me, when I had panic attacks, you know, it was me, you know, looking for, you know, what the immediate cause was. And I think that that is something that people always look for with panic attacks, is just like, oh, well, what were you doing when that happened? And it's like, no, sometimes it's stuff building up. Sometimes it's, you know, it's not this like defined, you know, moment, like this happened and then I had a panic attack. Like, it could just be a bunch of events like leading up to, you know, this thing that happens. And
yeah, they can come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I did not experience a panic attack until I was like mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And when that, like, when it happened, I was like, what is going on right now?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, you don't even like, I mean, I knew why, but like, I didn't really like comprehend. And it was just like this moment to just try to get past that feeling. And like, you're like, I feel like I'm dying right now.
Exactly. Like, that's like, it's like every system in your body is like, we're dying. Like, everything is on fire. This is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine like the pressure of that, going on a live show like that. And I did not know she did anything. Like, of course she does something. Like, no offense to Elon Musk, but like, I did not know Elon Musk's wife was talented. Like, of course, like, I had no idea. Like, I just, the only thing I remember about her is them naming their baby like something and then changing it.
Which he totally talked about in his monologue. And I thought that was hilarious.
Is hilarious.
That was really great. Yeah, she's an artist. She does music, and then she is also an artist. I'm not really familiar with her, but I don't know.
She's Canadian.
I think she's cool.
Yeah. She's Canadian, which I think is cool. You know,
she's a big fan of Canadians.
Yeah, I just really like Canadians. They're really nice people. Okay.
But my point to this was just like, if you have panic attacks, you know, get help, take steps in your life, you know, whatever you need to do to take that perspective and take stock of what your life is, if there's any changes that need to be made, big or small. For me, it was stepping away from school, and like that was, it was just a, you know, a path that I decided to step away from right now and do something else, like start this podcast.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
Gotta do what makes you happy. And also, like, sometimes life really stresses you out and you just gotta acknowledge that.
And yeah, do what you gotta do to help yourself. Play a game on your phone for 20 minutes a day. Find a therapist that you like. Don't ever push aside your need to notice your mental health and, you know, take those steps to improve it. So, yeah, that's what I've got to say about that.
I like it. I like it. Now I want to look up her music. So Grimes, that is her name. I'll check her out. Well, my woman crush is nothing like your woman crush. So, like yours is like meaningful. Mine
wasn't meaningful last week, so we'll just switch.
That's true. Well, mine wasn't meaningful either last year. I was like, this artist who's sappy, and if you're going through emotional divorce or breakup, listen to her album, which still, I did listen to it for like a week straight and was like, I think I should stop. But now that I mentioned it, now I want to listen to that album again. So, and if you didn't hear last week's.
If you didn't hear last week, go back and listen to that episode. Oh,
you're right. You're right. Yeah. Anyways, so my woman crush this week is a author. She writes romantic novels, and her name is Tessa
Danielle
Bailey.
Steele.
Danielle Steele. Honestly, I haven't read something other than like self-help business books in the last like 3 or 4 years. And I read this book in 3 days.
Oh my.
Like, there's some sex scenes that are kind of hot, but like, I haven't like, it's like there's some that are actually like pretty aggressive. And I was like, I'm like sitting next to my husband last night and he's like, I'm like smiling and like laughing. And he's like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm great. It was just, yeah. Anyways, so 3 days, this book, it's really super easy read, but it's called Tools of Engagement. And yeah, it's a good book. I mean, it's nothing like the ending kind of is like, kind of like, too over romantic, like the last page I was like, oh my god,
right, from 1 to 50 Shades of Grey, Humpy.
Oh god, compared to 50 Shades of Grey, this is like elementary school.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, so
it's a different vehicle.
Yeah, like when I say like aggressive, I mean like just like wordy, and he like kind of talks a little dirty. Mm-hmm. I really hope grandma never listens to this episode.
Oh, she'll be fine. Grandma,
I'm just sitting here talking about a romantic novel and sex scenes. Hey, grandma. But anyways, yeah, so it's a good book. It's like, it was just something like mindless, and I never read books to just enjoy books. And since I read this one in literally 3 days, I think I'm onto something.
That is the weirdest statement I've ever heard. I don't read to enjoy things. What kind of business books are you reading, Brianna?
Oh,
Economics Volume 2.
Like scale up business books, like, I don't know. God, I have a stack of them. And like, it just.
Thesauruses that someone sold you when they came and knocked on your door.
So that is my girl crush of the week.
Can you say the name and the title again?
Tessa Bailey, Tools of Engagement.
I really like that name.
Yeah. Well, it's a play. Like, once you read the book, you understand because it's cute.
I have. Yeah.
You know, it's about. I don't even want to tell you what it's about. Should I tell you what
tools,
it's about?
I've got a couple tools of engagements upstairs right now.
It's called the Jackhammer. Rabbit 540.
It's called the giant white hand massager that you bought as a joke, but sometimes you forget to charge other things.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I really don't want Graham to listen to this one.
We're going to have to cut all this.
Or not, and just go with it. That's funny. So our next set is accomplishments. What we would read people's emails, but we haven't got any yet.
We haven't launched yet, so no one knows we exist. One day. Until then, we'll just talk about ourselves.
In this part of the podcast, we'd love for you to email us your accomplishments, and that can be anything.
And you can literally send those to hello@girlpowerhistory.com.
Yes. But until you email us accomplishments, we're going to talk about ours.
You go first.
Me? I got my second vaccine shot, so I feel like that's an accomplishment. I kicked ass today at work, so I don't know. I think that's all I got right now. Laundry this weekend. That was exciting.
I also did laundry this weekend. I also got my second vaccine. I'm going to use that one too because hashtag I survived. It was touch and go there for a moment. Very unexpected. And yeah.
I had no issues. Like, I was tired one day and you like almost died.
I was out. I was writing my will. I'm just kidding. It's a sticky note.
It was a sticky note.
Just bury me with my stuff.
No one's getting this. Not even my kids.
That's all I have right now. It's the calm before my children don't have school anymore. So I'm just kind of biding my time until everything is kind of just drifted off there without words, but you know what I mean. Well, thank you for listening to this week. Next week it'll be me again, my turn, because we switch off.
Who are you?
Who am I? How did I get here? What page was I on? So yeah, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye. Thank you to our dear friends Carly and Dylan Peterson for creating our theme song and show music. You can follow their band Valentine on Spotify and on social media at Valentine the Band. Visit our show description for sources and episode links. Email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com and follow us on all social media platforms at @girlpowerhistory.